1044, please.
Authorize $235,000 grant, total in grant funds, for the Portland United Against AIDS Fiscal Year 2019-20 Special Appropriations Grant Program to support community organizations addressing hate violence.
Colleagues, I'm proud to bring forward this grant agreement with the Portland United Against Hate, founded in 2016 as a response to increased incidents of hate crimes and intimidation in our community. The Portland United Against Hate is an 80-plus member coalition of community organizations, neighborhood groups, and municipal bodies with a mission to track and to respond to and prevent acts of hate. The Fiscal Year 2019-20 Special Appropriations Grant Program to Portland United Against Hate recommends funding 10 selected projects to support capacity building, rapid response, and policy and data. The online hate incident reporting tool, reporthatepdx.com, was created by Coalition of Communities of Color for the Portland United Against Hate Coalition. A one-time grant of $10,000 will help the Coalition of Communities of Color maintain the database and secure a long-term home for the tool. Portland United Against Hate provides an important function for the community through this alternative reporting tool, and I'm proud that this council has made it a priority to fund. And with that, we have Ginger Dameron, who's the financial analyst, the Grants Management Division, and Rabbi Deborah Kolodny, who's the project director of Portland United Against Hate. Good morning, and thank you for being here.
I think it's good afternoon now. So I am Ginger Dameron.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah. I've recently taken on the responsibility of managing the Portland United Against Hate Special Appropriations Grant Program. So I have brought Rabbi Deborah to field any difficult questions. I am pleased to present the recommendations from the Grant Selection Committee for this year's competitive grants. Wanted to start with the strategic directions from the 2019-2020 for the PUA Coalition, and then we'll circle back to these and how they support the strategies at the end of the presentation. So the first one is capacity building to decrease the impact of hate violence, allow support for those targeted to heal, and promote prevention. The second is rapid response, provide a strong, clear, positive, and active response to diffuse hate violence. And the final one is policy and data to track the broad effects of hate violence in communities and provide analysis for informed policy making. The competitive process began with a grant call on July 17th, and two informational sessions were held before grant applications were due on August 20th. 15 applications received, requesting nearly $350,000 in funding, and the Grant Selection Committee was comprised of 7 individuals representing community groups and commissioner staffs. They reviewed and scored the applications individually and then met as a committee to consolidate their reviews and select 10 projects for competitive funding. I want to highlight that 5 of these grantees are new to the PUA grant program, and also mention that the previous grant cycle is just wrapping up, and so the report on that will be coming out next month. So the first funding recommendations that I'm going to highlight are new grantees to PUA. The first one's Freedom to Thrive, formerly known as Enlace. They run a 6-week cohort program in the summer designed to uplift Black youth while creating a safe, affirming, and healing learning environment. The program is called Umoja Kijana Suja, meaning Unity Youth Warriors in Swahili. The grant is to fund 2 fellowship positions for Umoja alumni to develop an outreach and education plan to utilize the Report Hate PDX tool, as well as develop skills in organizing, facilitation, and general nonprofit management capacity. The next organization is Greater Portland TransUnity, which is a volunteer-run organization that has produced the annual Portland Trans Pride March since 2014. They organize community events to build awareness, share resources, and foster solidarity among transgender, intersex, non-binary, and two-spirit people. This grant is to fund monthly meetups that foster connection, peer support, skill sharing, and leadership development by and with trans and queer people who are unhoused. Also to facilitate workshops that combine self-defense, community safety, know your rights trainings, and promote the online tracking tool. They will also publish a Portland Trans Housing and Shelter Resource Scene and host an informational and networking event for social service providers. Pride Northwest will be acting as the fiscal sponsor agent for this grant. Then we have Resolutions Northwest, whose mission is to facilitate honest dialogue to resolve conflict and advance racial and social justice. Their Interrupting Hate in Schools project has four components: interrupting hate training for youth leaders in three Portland high schools, Madison, Cleveland, and Park Rose. They give education access to Report Hate PDX for youth. There's also youth-led school-based projects, and they facilitate a spring gathering for youth to connect across schools and share their projects and successes in learning. Next, we have the Rosewood Initiative, and this is specifically for their refugee and immigrant hospitality outreach project that builds community in East Multnomah County via activities that foster respect, equity, and friendship. Reho creates avenues for cultural exchange, hosts educational opportunities, and helps immigrants and refugees leverage resources. This grant is to fund the hire of a part-time program director who will be facilitating workshops and trainings, as well as teaching how to use the Report Hate PDX tool. And finally, we have VAS Workers' Rights Education Project. This is a worker-led organization that empowers diverse day laborers and immigrants to improve their working conditions and protect civil rights through leadership development, organizing, education, and economic opportunity. We have a couple of representatives that have been here for a while from the grantees. You can wave, maybe. The proposed project will increase the resiliency of the day laborer community by increasing access to resources for reporting hate violence, providing education about defending their rights and white supremacy, and by building cross-racial community solidarity through monthly presentations and street visits. So these five grantees will be joining the Pula Coalition and expanding the group that we've already had. The additional funding recommendations are organizations that have received PUA funding in the past. So first, we have Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon Communities Funds. Their grants for reporting and responding to hate, sharing and supporting input of hate and bias incidents, developing a culturally specific resource guide to educate their staff on the work of PUA, and fund dedicated staff to respond to immediate demands. The next group is the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. Their project is Hate Has No Place in Housing. They will serve as the point of contact for the online tracking tool, conduct renters' rights and landlord responsibilities trainings, deliver educational events that promote a community-based narrative of inclusion. And then the Latino Network, to provide culturally responsive, trauma-informed training for Latino community, Know Your Rights training, emergency preparedness family planning, partner and community group support, and staff training on interrupting hate. Next, we have the Lutheran Community Services, who are engaging in culturally and community-specific hate crime victim advocacy services to immigrant, refugee, and other populations. And finally, Unite Oregon. The grant is to ensure immigrants, refugees, and people of color in Portland are informed, educated, and empowered to use the hate incidents tracking tool and additional resources and protections available through the Hate Crimes Bill. And then in addition to the competitive grants, the PUA Coalition recommends a grant of $10,000 to the Coalition of Communities of Color to maintain the online database and to secure a long-term solution for housing that online platform. So in conclusion, the way the grants support the strategic directions and the capacity building, you heard there's training, there's community engagement, advocacy for those impacted by hate, and youth leadership development in schools. With rapid response, there's an expansion of the steering committee to include more populations and collective response, strategizing more effective mechanisms to support all populations in the city. And finally, with policy and data, participation on the steering committee, populating the database with incidents, and upgrading the Report Hate PDX site.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Thank you for your feedback. How well known is that database, and what happens to information once it's in the database?
So it's...
Hi, Rabbi.
Hi, Commissioner Hardesty. The database is analyzed every quarter, so every 4 months. So every 3 or 4 months, the steering committee is provided with an up-to-date analysis of where hate incidents are happening, who are the targets, who are the perpetrators. And to date, to be quite honest, what we're seeing is generic information that tells us, yeah, the populations we thought were targeted are targeted. So LGBTQI plus populations, Muslim and Jewish populations, Latinx populations, folks who are houseless. So it's affirming what we suspected, and we're also seeing at the rate of about 135 to 140 a year, way more data than we were seeing from the FBI or from the local police. So we're seeing that the scope of the problem is much larger. And we're seeing that folks who are targets most often don't want to report, even if it's anonymous. And so a lot of the reporting is happening through the social service agencies that are working with the targeted populations. So we are actually just launching, we just launched 2 days ago, a Report Hate PDX campaign to create a culture of reporting in this city. Every steering committee member, we're now up to 33 steering committee members, is taking 2 to 5 organizations and is going to do an informational session on how to do inputting into the database. And that's our starting point. And that's going to be a 6-month campaign. And with these 5 additional organizations joining the steering committee, we're going to expand, you know, our reach to who's going to input the data by virtue of just who's at the table. In addition, we've written a grant to Metro to work in their Metro Enhancement Zone to do focus group and gather data about where the hotspots are in the Enhancement Zone. So we're going to use a different mechanism, an additional mechanism, to populate the database and also to inform us about which populations are most targeted. So the data is just one part of a very large project.
Thank you for that detailed answer. I would love to get a copy of the quarterly reports when they come out. Mm-hmm. I am concerned that, once again, it doesn't appear that there's a focus on the African American community, which I know suffers severely from racial attacks and inequality in the city of Portland since its inception. I'm concerned that most of the resources we need more resources, no question. But I guess the question becomes, when does this become a nonprofit mm-hmm. that isn't dependent on city money? Mm-hmm. Because, again, we can't be so narrowly focused that we're missing populations. And so I this is feedback I give always to POOR, and they always say, yes, you're right, we're going to work on that. And here we are again, and we haven't quite figured out how to use the limited resources that we have to really make sure that all communities are supported. This is not, hate's not new, right? Not in our communities, not new. It's been here ever since I've been here, so it's not new, but we need new tools to actually address it, I think.
Yeah, one of the limitations of the granting process is that we can only grant to those who submit proposals. And I will tell you that the product who submits proposals is totally linked to who got funded.
And who has infrastructure in place to be able to develop.
Right. So I will tell you that I personally did work with 2 nonprofit organizations that focus exclusively on African Americans in Portland and told them I would give them technical assistance if they wanted it to submit a proposal, but that didn't move forward. So we need to be more systematic, but it hasn't been ignored.
Just have a quick technical question. I thought that the funding for Portland United Against Hate was going through Southeast Uplift, so I'm a little interested as to why this is coming from the grants office.
So money that money for funding the infrastructure, so the staffing, goes through Southeast Uplift, and the granting process is continuing to go through the Office of Management and Finance.
So they, you'll be doing the
appropriations this year, yeah.
And you'll be doing the reporting back on the outcomes, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So in December, we're going to have a report on the outcomes through last fiscal year, and then moving forward, of course, we will report back again on the current fiscal year special program.
Yeah, we're in that perpetual chicken and egg thing
aren't
as to being allocating the new money before we hear about how the old was was finished up. Yeah. So hopefully we can fix that next year. Thank you, Rabbi Kolodny, for all of your work on this since 2016. It's sad that we still need this, and it's sad that we need it more than ever. Mm-hmm. So I'm very pleased to have been part of the inception of this group, and I'm continuing to be a strong supporter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amir, I'm looking at the materials in our notebook. Is there an administrative cap that we have imposed in terms of... excuse me.
I found this on the web.
What do you need us for?
Here he has this conversation with me in the middle of meetings. It's just ridiculous. So do we have an administrative overhead cap that we enforce with our grantees?
Yeah, I mean, they each submitted a budget, and I think 18% was the highest I saw of overhead that is in any of the budgets.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one that's part of our packet, which is 15%. Do we have a sense of what is best practice in that area?
Well, that's a good question.
I don't know what the city's best practice is, but in the world of funding at large, it's generally 15 to 18% is the cap, is normative. But I don't know if the city has policies and protocols on that.
We don't. There's no policy. Special appropriations has, it cannot fund over 35% of their overall budget. I think that's the only financial policy we have directing. I think the grant selection committee did look at each of the budgets, and one of them they requested they lower their overhead percentage. So I think right now it's kind of left to the grant selection committee to determine.
But I also want to add that these particular grants have an administrative requirement of the folks who are awarded to attend steering committee meetings monthly, to attend work group meetings that they're a part of, which could be monthly, whether it's the fundraising committee or the advocacy committee. And what we have found is the amount of administrative investment required by these grantees can be significant, especially because we're continually doing special appropriations. So we're in a constant cycle of having the grantees come to speak with all of you about why we need money again. So it's very administrative intense.
The other question that I had was, in the reporting form that's attached, that presumably goes in at the end of the year, It has a category, a box to fill out called successes and a box to fill out called challenges. There's nothing that requires the grantee to enumerate how many people have been served.
Right.
And I wonder whether that's a useful barometer of the sort of value we're getting for these investments. And I welcome your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. And you could include it in your form, although I think it's a generic form from the city. Okay. What I'll tell you is that in the presentation we made a year ago, almost a year ago in January, and in the presentation you'll see this coming December, we will give you that exact data of the number of people served by trainings, the number of people served with trauma-informed care after an incident, the number of folks who are trained to be trainers, et cetera, the number of events held. Yeah, you'll get that.
Good. Thank you.
I just wanted to add that in all of their scope of work, it's actually broken into the work they're doing, outcomes, and outputs. And so we've not finalized those grant agreements yet. We can definitely add that into the report. So
I think some estimated number of people served would be a good addition. Yeah. You have some room on the back of that form, and I would urge you to think about including that.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I also was interested in the last time I met with your steering committee, we talked about the need to make this an independent nonprofit.
Yes.
And it sounded like today that you're now preparing for the next budget cycle to come in front of the city and expect us to fully fund it again. And I get concerned about those one-time projects that just go on and on and on and on. And so what's happened in the last year around becoming your own nonprofit and actually seeking other financial support?
Yeah, so we're certainly not coming to the city for our exclusive funding. Having gotten the fiscal sponsorship of Southeast Uplift, we've already received $10,000 in donations, including $1,500 from the mayor. Thank you very much, Mayor Wheeler. from members of the steering committee. And we have been awarded a grant from Meyer Memorial to be in there from service to systems cohort. It's a new grant category for them. So we're part of the initial cohort, which is just a little bit of money, and then we get to apply for $75,000 next year with a specific project on how we're going to move into system development, advocacy, upstream solutions. And we also have this grant proposal into Metro, which we should be hearing from very, very soon. In addition to that, we're in conversation. A lot of this will be covered again, so I'm sorry I'm going to bore you. I hate being repetitive. It's like my anxiety is going up about repetition, but we're also in conversation with the state because SB 577 calls for data collection around the state on hate incidents. And so since we have a data collection tool, which perhaps only needs to be modified slightly, we're looking into supporting the state in that venture and securing funding from the state to continue doing that. So that could be quite a lot of money. That, you know, 400,000, I think, is a number that is being discussed. But this is all in the pipeline. But I want to assure you that we're working very, very hard. We've had an initial conversation with the county. Things there are not as far along as they are with these other pathways.
So no question, I totally support the work that's being done. But I am concerned that we have state agencies and federal agencies and lots of people who say they're working on hate crimes. And I guess I'm really looking for, like, outcomes that we can point to that actually changes what happens at the state, federal, and local level around hate crimes. Because
yes.
If we're not making the people who actually are paid to actually investigate and prosecute hate crimes, if we're not making them do their job, then all we're doing is paying for it two and three and four other times, right?
Yeah. So I'll say hallelujah to that. But I'll also say that there's a part of me that thinks that what PUA is doing is more perhaps akin to Portland Street Response for houselessness, right? That there are needs that targeted populations have that will never be met by the police and the DA because those populations don't want to engage with them. So both things have to happen, in my view. There needs to be a cultivation of community response, and there needs support and cultivation of community response and support and cultivation of police and DA appropriate response.
But which is why we desperately need that information, because
yes.
If we don't know what's happening or not happening
yes.
based on how people are reporting,
yes.
then we can't do our jobs of holding those other folks accountable.
For sure. So you'll get the almost two-year full data in December. That's probably will be part of the report. And I have it written down, quarterly reporting to the council.
Thank you.
That's a great request. Yeah.
Very good. Public testimony on this item, Carla.
Yes, I believe we have at least two people.
Thank you for your presentation.
You so
it was excellent. Thank you.
Charles Bridge Crane Johnson and Maggie, and I think Gian left.
As to the
I was just requested to stay up here.
No, you don't need to stay up. Thank you for offering.
We would love it if you did.
We would love it if you did, yes.
No, that you've given your presentation, Rabbi. We thank you for it.
My question would be, what if somebody came to POA and said, you know, the city has this reporting thing to report where people camp, so these neighborhood associations get online and they report where people are camping, or they drive around and they look for homeless people. And now you've got a vigilante problem where I repeatedly hear over and over again, my stuff was stolen while I was sleeping. We're talking about people's ID, their cell phones, their, you know, things that they need getting stolen. And we're talking about so many disabled people on the streets. You know, you talked about people being killed by car accidents. Well, 100 people almost have died this year, and the coroner is saying only 50% of them are due to drug overdoses. So that means 50% of the people who have died which is the same number of traffic accidents, were not due to drug overdose. They died because they didn't have housing. And so then on top of it, you're going to have these neighborhood associations go around and, you know, attack people who are disabled, who have been denied access to housing because HUD doesn't want to enforce on the contractors to get these people into housing. So I would like to, that's a hate crime right there. When people wait for them to fall asleep and take their stuff while they're sleeping, that's a hate crime. That's funded by the government. And then if they're going along with cop shop, you know, bottles of bear spray and hitting people over the head with a baseball bat, you know, and then they're having to go to the hospital because some security guard wannabe or some off-duty cop, you know, woke them up while they were trying to take their stuff, that'll teach them. They'll go to some other neighborhood. Okay, so I would like to know what POA has to say about that.
Well, Maggie, unless they want to come up, I can answer the question. From what I know from the coalition, they are broad-based. They support the rights of all people in this community. The specific incidents that you mentioned are patently illegal. And what I like about Portland United Against Hate is it's something of a check and balance on the services we provide to protect people's rights and uphold the law. And if there are people, as you heard them testify, who don't feel comfortable reporting to the police or don't feel comfortable reporting to city government, we are in effect in a partnership now with a strong community organization led by highly competent people and caring people who people can go to alternatively to us. And so I feel very comfortable that the kinds of issues that you have addressed, if they are not being taken care of by law enforcement, there is at least now this other opportunity for Portland United Against Hate. And I don't know if you had anything else to add, but does that sound approximately right?
Ben,
good. Thank you.
Like how will they work with
the after it's 20-1. We have three more items. We have lots of people waiting to testify.
I understand. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Charles Britt Crane Johnson for the record. And in first of all, it's just almost 3 months ago to the day, actually on a Wednesday, the majority, us, we were gathered in Pioneer Square. And it was great to hear the unfiltered presentations from a number of presenters there in Pioneer Square as we were looking for some, you can't call them right-wing nut jobs, maybe, but we have free press. So we were very concerned that people from across the country were going to come into Portland and violently tell us that we were doing it wrong. Fortunately, the level of violence was relatively low, although there was, about 3 weeks after that, there was a very strange police raid on a private home of people who were protesting hate in their town. In the conversation, it didn't get mentioned that one of the things Pua is partnering with and is on their Facebook page, the 14th, tomorrow, the mayor earlier mentioned Self-Enhancement, Inc. Tomorrow at Self-Enhancement, Inc., 5 o'clock, discussion about how to make changes in the city code to bring us to that point of equity and inclusion. And for people who are more focused on PUA issues, the 19th of November at Southeast Uplift, there'll be some more community dialogue around that. So I look forward to both things happening. Hopefully, y'all voting unanimously to move out this batch of money, and especially in light of Commissioner Hardesty's comments about how we live in a city where previous leaders other than yourselves haven't given us a really robust city funding mechanism. So we have to worry about economic downturns and pots of money that are too small to do all the things we'd like to do. So in addition to encouraging PUA to find more and more independent financing, I want to encourage all of you to twist the arms of state legislatures and on your own, find ways to create better, stronger, robust revenue mechanisms for our city of Portland and our important programs. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for giving a shout out to those two community opportunities for engagement. Thank you for that. Any further business on this item? Seeing none, Carla, if you wouldn't mind calling the roll, please.
Udaley?
It's
is fitting that we are approving these grant agreements for Portland United Against Hate today, November 13th, 2019, on the 31st anniversary of Mulugeta Sarah's murder. Portland's history of racism and white supremacy still haunts communities in our city and impacts their daily lives. That's why the work that PUA does is so vital to our community. Portland United Against Hate, formed on Valentine's Day, 2017, a very cold night, was the kickoff, in response to the staggering increase in hate violence targeting people across our city. Over the last few years, PUA has proven to be a great benefit for all Portlanders. Our support of PUA shows our values as a city. In light of our current administration resisting the federal government and prioritizing the needs of our community has never been more important. PUA is a model for organizations, community organizations, and government to work together to defend human rights and the common good. I'd like to thank everyone who's contributed to PUA's work. I look forward to continuing to support their efforts, celebrating their successes, and continuing the work together to shift the culture of Portland toward a more just, safe, and inclusive community. I vote aye.
Fritz?
Thank you to our guests here this morning and our partners in the community. I was really particularly pleased to hear about the partnership with the Southeast Uplift Coalition, providing services to PUA, and then you immediately being able to go out and get grants using their nonprofit status. So that's a great partnership. I'm glad to support. That's not actually right. I'm not glad to support Portland United Against Hate. I'm glad that Portland United Against Hate exists. I'm very upset and angry that it has to exist. But as Commissioner Udalian mentioned, this is not a new thing. Since 2016, this has been going on for a long time, and it needs to stop. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Hardesty. Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Thank you for the presentation. It's outstanding. Great list. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted.